are blessed to have our speaker today. Molly Morton is from Southern California. She is a missionary called to serve the people of Ireland, and she's right now part of EFM as a candidate for full-time missions. And so right now she's in preparation, seeking to get both 100% funding, but more importantly, in all ministry aspects, she is seeking 500 prayer partners who will pray for her to support her. This is sort of an impromptu booking. She said yes because of a random text she got at about 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Nothing creepy about that. Asking if she would come speak in chapel. And she, against probably her better judgment, said yes to this this thing. And so she is going to share about her ministry, her calling, and of course, what God wants to say through her. And so will you join me in a word of prayer for her? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for the servants you've called to proclaim your word in life, in deed, in preaching, in worship. Those who you've called especially out of their comfort zones, out of the areas where they've grown up, across oceans, across boundaries, across mountains, ridges, to serve those who desperately need the love of Jesus. And Father, this is not an easy task, to give up the certain for the uncertain, to give up the stable for the unstable. But Father, we know that when we embark on any mission that you have called us to, we are never alone, for you are with us, guiding us, sustaining us, encouraging us. Father, as many of us here are feeling that ever weightier conviction about what God wants for our life, I pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts and minds to hear what people who have answered that call, what you would say through them. Help us listen. In Jesus' name, amen. We welcome Molly Morton.
Can we show that video first? Is that okay? Hello. I am sick right now, so I apologize for my voice, but I feel like that means that whatever I'm supposed to say to you is really important because somebody is attacking me right now. So I apologize for my voice, but that is the beauty of technology. So I'm Molly Morton. I grew up in Southwest Yearly Meeting. I went to Rosary Friends Church growing up. There's a few of you here that went there. And now I attend Glendora Friends Church. I graduated from Azusa Pacific in 2006 with a degree in cinema broadcast art with an emphasis in narrative cinema, that I'm doing so much with now. Major in what you're passionate about, guys. Major in what you're passionate about. It doesn't matter what you'll get a job in. I worked at APU for 10 years after that as a coffee house manager. I took that job because I was just going to go to Ireland the next summer after I graduated, but suddenly it was 10 years later. But while I was working there, I got to lead 8 teams. I think that was made before I led my 8th team. So I've been there 15 times in the last 16 years. And it is literally the best thing that I've gotten to do with my life, is to take people to Ireland for the first time. It's like taking somebody to Disneyland for the first time. It's just the best. My parents raised us, my older brother and my younger sister, in a Christian home. And I'm grateful for that. We were raised in the Friends Church, and that's a huge part of my story. And I've finally been able to admit that I am my mother's daughter. You too will come to this place, young Padawans. If you can go to the next slide. That's my mom in the bottom left corner, me and my dad and my mom. We both get way too invested in things like Downton Abbey and the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team. I was very excited when they were on Dancing with the Stars, too. We move heaven and earth to spend time with people we consider a part of our family. And we're probably always late because we're spending too much time with those people. And she had an insatiable craving for the gospel to be sent out to the four corners of the globe. She wanted each and every person to know that they mattered to the Father of the universe, to the God of this universe. And we tend to adopt people into our family, both of us do. she would take in strays. A lot of times my friends, she would take in strays. A lot of people have lived with us over the years. But all the rest of these people are people that have taken me in. Right now I can count at least 7 families outside of my own biological family. I have a perfectly functional biological family. Like, it's not like I'm trying to like fill a void or anything. I have a perfectly lovely family. But I can count 7 families that call me their own, 3 in Southern California, 3 in Ireland, and 1 in Colorado. I just went to the LA County Fair with the Tierneys. They're in the middle. And we looked at the tablescape competition. If you really want to know what I'm all about, come talk to me about tablescapes. It's intense, you guys. It's the only competition in the whole fair where you get to read the judges' comments. And they're so snarky. It's so cool. It's so great. Seriously. I'm like revealing my guilty pleasures to you now. I am who I am, and I feel brave and strong to go out on the missions field because of these families and because of the love and support of my own biological family. It reminds me of the verse in Colossians 2 that says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith just as you were taught." I was taught to be rooted in Christ by my multiple families, and they have supported me and fed me and cried with me and prayed with me and kept me accountable and strengthened me and reminded me that I matter to the God of this universe. If you can go to the next slide. I have been leading teams to Ireland for 10 years, and I went to Ireland for the very first time when I was 19. And I just realized this a couple of days ago, but I'm pretty sure God called me to Ireland that first year. I usually point to a team in 2010 that I led that was like a really great team, but a really challenging ministry. But the more I think about it, the more I think God called me that first time when I went to when I was 19. These are all the teams that I've led. I took a very deep dive on Facebook to find all those pictures because I don't take any pictures of my own anymore. I started leading short-term teams. A few years after I went the very first time, I got an opportunity to do that through Azusa Pacific. They had never sent a team to Ireland. They had never done Western European missions. And we were pioneering something. I didn't know we were doing that at the time. I've never actually participated in a short-term team at APU. I've only ever led them. So they were taking a risk there, too. But it turned out to be a really amazing time, and they let me do it 7 more times. So, and they're continuing to do it after I'm not there. But I would say that third team is when I started to feel burdened for the Irish. The Irish want to know God, to really know him, but they don't know how. They want to become adopted into the family of Christ, but they don't know how. They think they know how. Because there's a huge Catholic influence in Ireland. Yeah. Ireland is the Republic of Ireland. If you'd like to know about the history of the island of Ireland, that is something we'll talk about later. Top 6 counties of Ireland are still a part of the United Kingdom. The Republic of Ireland is the bottom 30 counties. So those statistics are that 88% are Roman Catholic. They tick the census box that says Roman Catholic. And less than 1% are evangelical Christian. So less than 1% have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But of that 88%, only about 22% go to Mass on a regular basis. So it's a country full of empty churches. There's actually cathedrals that are being bought by nightclub owners and restaurant owners, and we're putting nightclubs and restaurants in these old cathedrals now, which is really cool from like a tourist standpoint. I've gone to one of those restaurants. It's very neat. But it's kind of sad when you think about it that there's not church in this building anymore. Almost each Irish person can point to a reason not to trust the church. There's been, of course, several scandals and sexual abuse scandals and financial scandals and laundry houses and things like that where the church has abused its power in the past. But I think the most detrimental has been how the church covered it up, how the Catholic Church covered it up, and so that made them lose authority in people's lives. The Catholic Church had a huge amount of authority in a random Irish person's life, maybe 50 years ago, but that's not the case anymore. Because of the cover-up of these scandals, because of the cover-up of these abuses, the church has lost authority in people's lives in a country that gave it a lot of authority for a long time. So it's hard to come into a country and ask somebody to do something else besides what they've already done for the church. And so it feels like we're just asking them to do one more thing for the church. And it can be very, very difficult. So I get to serve with Evangelical Friends Mission. If you go to the next slide, that's my team. My hair was so much redder back then. And I didn't have bangs. Sorry, I'm sick, you guys. I'm heavily medicated. I'm sorry. This is me, though. This is me. So, Evangelical Friends Missions exists with a purpose and passion to fuel a worldwide movement of people who seek first the kingdom of God and to plant churches that live and die for the Great Commission. We have 15 units in nine fields. And Ireland is the most expensive one. It looks a little different in Ireland as far as church planning. It kind of kept me from serving with EFM for a long time because I didn't really think that Ireland needed more churches. I had been blessed to be a part of some really amazing Christian churches in Ireland, and I didn't think that that's what we needed to do. But just about the time I was applying to EFM was just about the time that the mission in Ireland was changing its trajectory to one of discipleship and relationship building, as if I did not need more confirmation that EFM was the right place for me. Let's change our entire mission and vision so it matches up with Molly's. And I was like, I see you, God. I see what you're doing. Okay. It's not an easy process to apply to be a missionary. It took 2 years and lots of board meetings and lots of heart-wrenching conversations. But I felt incredibly supported by the board of EFM, and it just further confirmed that I was the right place. I usually don't say all that. So what we do to share Christ, to reflect Christ in Ireland, the Howells do some ministry with Teen Challenge, alcohol recovery program. They have a food pantry. They work with youth in a local church. And Kathy has toddler groups that she does a thing called Godly Play In, which is like a really neat kind of curriculum to teach the Bible to children. And she also remains connected with the Irish Friends, because the Irish Friends are just like any other Irish person. They're super skeptical of us. And so it's been incredibly difficult to maintain relationship with them and connection. So she tries really hard. She's very intentional about maintaining relationship with them. But the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, like in Luke 10:2. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. So that's my big plug. Come to Ireland. Come to Ireland. Send Soul Shakers teams to Ireland. Send Juniors Global teams to Ireland. If you want to go to the next slide, this is my favorite slide. I have a 3-year-old niece, and she's the best. So my brother and sister-in-law felt called into adoption a few years ago, shortly after my mom passed away. My brother has always wanted a daughter. They have 2 older boys, and he has always, always wanted a daughter. But as our nephews got older, my sister-in-law was very excited that they could go to the bathroom on their own and feed themselves and dress themselves. She didn't really know if she wanted to do that again. But shortly after my mom passed away, she felt clearly from the Lord telling her that to open her home up to another child. And my brother actually heard the same thing from the Lord. So they started the process of adoption in Riverside County in Southern California. And they took a year of classes and psychiatric evaluations, and their kids got psychiatrically evaluated, and their house got inspected, and my sister and her mom got inspected because they care for the kids. Like, it was a whole process. And about October of 2014, they were put like on the approved family list for foster and adopt kids. And about 2 months later, at the beginning of December, they got a call about a baby girl that had been born at a Riverside hospital, and she'd been safely surrendered. My niece's biological parents came here from Italy for surrogacy, actually. And it's not that surrogacy is illegal in Europe. It's just that the legislation doesn't exist to kind of protect everybody involved in that situation. So actually, a huge amount of couples come here from Europe for surrogacy. And so they came here and got a surrogate and got an egg donor. And so she's actually half Italian, like her brothers, because my sister-in-law is full-blooded Italian. So her ethnicity is very similar to her brother's. It's very cool. And when she was born, she had a brain hemorrhage, and her biological parents were told all of the kinds of complications that might affect the way that your child is raised or grows up or whatever. And they decided that they didn't want to do that. So they went straight back to Italy, which made adopting her very easy because they weren't around to claim their parental rights back. She is a beautiful, beautiful, almost three-year-old now, who is meeting all of her mile markers. She's been diagnosed with a low-grade form of cerebral palsy. So her whole left side is just weaker than her right, but she's been getting occupational and physical therapy like since the day she was born. And she is sassy and stubborn and bossy. She met all of her other mile markers. It took a little bit longer to walk because her left leg's not as strong, you know. But she is just, I mean, look at her. She's so cute. She calls me Auntie Mo because she couldn't do L's when she was little. So she calls me Auntie Mo. Now everybody calls me Auntie Mo in my family. Her brothers never called me Auntie Mo. I miss her. I haven't seen her in like 2 weeks. But Julia is who she is, which is a sassy, stubborn, bossy gift from God, because of my family's love for her. And we give that love out of the sheer abundance of love we have from Christ. And we as the Morton family said, Julia Jane, we love you because Christ first loved us and you matter to the God of this universe. And I want to bring that love to Ireland. I want to show the people of Ireland that there's a good father that is waiting to adopt them into this crazy, sassy, stubborn family of God. And the verse in Psalm 139 reminds me of this, if you can go to the next slide. That castle's across the street from my friend's house in Ireland. Just putting that out there. Because it's Ireland. There's castles across the street from things. In Psalm 139, it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar, and you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. That's what I want to tell the Irish. I want to tell them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by the God of this universe. So I think Derek is going to come up and pray for us.
I would wonder if you would be okay with this, if we would surround you in prayer as our way to walk with you, journey with you as you are kind of stepping out in faith. Would that be okay with you all if we did that? Would you mind? I know this. You're right in the middle. Would you mind walk up here? And if you feel led, would you stand up and surround her so that we can pray for her and what she has, what she is on the roll to do?
God, just thank you for today and thank you for the opportunity that we get to hear Molly and just her experience and the great calling that you've had upon her throughout her life. I just pray that in this moment that you may touch her and just provide for her in every way possible, Lord, that she may never need and she may know that you are enough, God. And just thank you for the message she brought, and I just pray that if there was anybody here that was touched by it or there was a seed planted, I just pray that that seed may continue to grow and we may be able to go to Ireland if that's your will, Lord. I pray for those who are going to Ireland and just starting that ministry, that you may bless them. If that's only Molly or if it's other people, I just pray that you may open the doors that are necessary, Lord. Just thank you for everything you are doing and everything you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Your grace and peace, you're dismissed. But can we thank Molly for...
support cards and hair cards.
And as you are leaving, she does have support card and prayer cards. If you want to join her, pray for her, know more about her ministry, please come find her.